Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Now we are hot. Let's get it. Welcome back to another episode with Chill with Chill. Ox is in Mexico, but the sixth man of the year, Unk, is here for you as always, brother. I'm always here to hold you down, Unk. You know how this thing goes, man. How are you doing?
I keep telling y'all people, man, like Malik Monk, bye. Peyton Pritchard, nope. Norman Powell, see you later. Bobby Portis, thank you, but no thanks. Nope. They get a sixth man of the year right here. The best rotation player in the game. Right here. You looking at him. That's him right there. The best rotation player in the game. He's right here. That's who you're looking at. Right there.
I come off the bench and just get to work. They say, J-Rob, when you come off the bench, just get to work. We don't need no feeling it out, nothing. They say, we want you to straight get to business, and that's what we hear.
Ain't no misunderstanding when J-Rob come off the bench. He is Jamal Crawford. He is Lemon Pepper Lou. Like, ain't no, all right, yo, we need you to do this. No, we know exactly. Get him the pill. Yeah. Let him go to work.
Yeah, it ain't no question. I'm the only person on the team allowed to take mid-range jump shots. You feel me?
That's it. In fact, if you don't, he got to come off. If he don't do that, he got to come off the floor.
Exactly. If he don't shoot it, he got to come off. If he don't shoot it, he got to come off.
Got to come off the floor.
Last night, April 12th, the action in the association was off the chain. Let's start with the first game of the day. I mean, Philly and Orlando. Joel is back. Obviously, left the floor with an apparent injury. Obviously, I think they're being overly precautious with him because he clearly got that big ass brace on his left leg. What is your thoughts on this on the Philadelphia 76ers? And what is your thoughts on Joel Embiid and his return? Do you think this is good for the league? I mean, good for the Sixers.
It could have been good. If I had a couple more weeks, J-Rob, if I had another month, I'd feel so much better about this. But the fact that the playoffs today, a week from today, the playoffs start. One week from today. So I would have felt so much better about this if you gave me some more time with Joel Embiid. But the fact that I only had 2 weeks, and it's obvious that as good as he still is as a basketball player, physically, he's not there. Physically, he is not there. And when we get to the playoffs, when the energy is going to be ramped up, the intensity is going to be ramped up, the schemes are going to be ramped up, he's going to get exposed for who he is right now. And who he is right now isn't Joel Embiid. Who he is right now is a big man that's injured, that's trying to work his way back into the lineup. J-Rob, if I had another month for him to get ramped up, if I had another month for him to get ready, if I had another month for guys like Buddy Hield to get more acclimated to playing with him, Maxi to get back acclimated playing with him. Because, again, as good as Maxi is and as good as the chemistry that they had, he was gone for over 2 months. So now I got to get back acclimated to playing with Joel Embiid. That's not to say that Joel Embiid doesn't know how to play basketball. I mean, damn, he went for 32 and 13 last night in 32 minutes. So he can still, play basketball. That's not the question. And The issue that I have with him is when he gets tired, right? Yeah, when he gets tired, he has untimely turnovers. He takes bad shots. And that's because physically I'm not there yet, right? Physically I'm not. He had 4 turnovers last night. A couple of nights before that, he had 7 turnovers. And that's because physically I'm not there yet. My timing is off. My body isn't where I want it to be, which is why I'm saying, J-Rob, if I had another 2 weeks, if I had a month, I'd feel so much better about these dudes going into the playoffs. Plus, mentally, with Joel Embiid going into the playoffs, if he was more physically able to do what he knows how to do, he would be so much more sharper. What I mean when I say that is, J-Rob, you're a football player. So you know how to lock down a guy on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going into the playoffs after, I don't know, the last six games of the season. You've been at your best.
Right.
But if I lost you for 5 games and then you came back for the last 2 games, well, there's a mental aspect there that physically you're not there. So you don't really feel as sharp as opposed to You had played the rest of the season. Now we're going into the playoffs. You feel great. You ready to rock and roll. Just mentally, not just physically, but mentally, you know, okay, I'm ready to go. Joel Embiid's still trying to catch up with his, mentally, he's still trying to catch up with his body. He's still trying to catch up to the game. And now now I don't have to push him into the lineup in December, right? I don't have to push him into the lineup in the middle of February. Ah, Jay, we got the playoffs start next week. We got to get right to it. And with us getting right to it, I got to be mentally prepared for that. I'm not even mentally prepared for where I am with my body and my game. Now I got to get mentally prepared for the playoffs too.
Right.
Not enough time, man. It's just not enough time.
So you know what's ironic about you saying that? Because I just want to transition, because it's the same thing you're saying about how I feel about the New York Knicks and Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. And in my eyes, it's like, listen, if I'm the New York Knicks, he's done for the season. We're not going to try to reacclimate him into the team when we get to the playoffs, because the reality of it is, when you bring on Julius, he brings so much gravity to the game because of what he's been and what he's done in New York, that, Unc, we're going to have to literally reacclimate him in win or go home situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, every game is too much pressure on every game to sit here and try to make sure Julius is comfortable to come back. So I agree with the way you're talking about Embiid, because I feel like that's a bit, like, I don't think people realize, like, just getting a player back, it doesn't just mean everything is gold, because you have to reestablish them, because you've been playing, you've played two, three months without them. You've established this whole new identity, and then you have to find a way to reestablish them into a lineup. And the problem is, Unc, you know how it is. You got a guy that, you know, on your own basketball team that he's been out for a few weeks. He finally get back in, and you have point guard. Let's get the big man going. Let's get him going. We start dumping him a bunch of passes, and then next thing you know, we give him a bunch of entry passes, post-ups. And next thing you know, we're down by 10 going into the fourth quarter, because we've been trying to get this player to be reestablished into a lineup, because he ain't been here all for the last few months. And I feel like we're at a place where, like, for the New York Knicks, like, I think if we want to go to the finals, or at least have a chance to go to the finals, I think we're gonna have to run without Julius. I think if we try to bring him back, it's gonna be, and that's no discredit to Julius. It's more about the chemistry.
Well, they've already announced that Julius Randle's done for the season. He's got season-ending shoulder surgery. But to add to your point about Joel Embiid, again, this isn't a guy that we're just bringing back to the lineup. He was everything for us.
Right.
Everything that we did was him. He's our best offensive player. He's our best rebounder. He's our best defensive player. He's our paint presence. He's everything. Our entire offense runs through him. He's anchoring our defense. Everything we do is Joel Embiid. And now the fact that we get him back, we have to now get back to that. Physically, he's not prepared to do that. So we got guys that have to pick that up. Tobias Harris has to pick that up. Maxey has to pick that up. But in the process of us picking it up, we still got to get acclimated to him being back in the lineup. And we got to get used to having him back in the lineup. So it's kind of tricky where 1 minute, okay, this guy who was on our who was on the floor, who was everything, but now physically he's not able to do that. Only we still see him that way because he's still doing a lot of this stuff, but physically he's not able to do that. It's a real tricky situation in Philadelphia. Real tricky.
No, I agree. And my question to you is, let's just say for the sake of, they get back with Embiid, they have Embiid back, and they're normal. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that they're normal. What is what is their ceiling? What's their ceiling?
That's the thing, J-Rob. I would love this if they were that. Like, if Joel Embiid didn't get hurt. And I love their chances in the Eastern Conference. If they could avoid Boston, because there's a mental aspect with Boston. Boston just owns them. I don't know what it is. Right. And Joel Embiid already said it. They own them. But if it wasn't for them, if Joel Embiid is going – and the way he was playing before he got hurt, them coming into the playoffs, he looking at this thing like, yo, we can win the NBA championship.
Yeah,
I see Olajuwon, 1994, throwing that unit on his back, and we go into the NBA championship. Yeah. The way he was playing, the 35, 11, almost 12, and 6, and unstoppable, the way he was on defense, the rim protector that he was, sure, I'd like to, and this is nitpicking, but I'd like to see him rebound a little bit more, but that's neither here nor there. The other stuff that he was doing, that was so important, and he was so dominant. So dominant to the point where there's no way that going into the playoffs. If he's playing like that mentally, he doesn't think we can win the NBA championship. There's no way that they ain't thinking that. But the fact that he's been out of the lineup for the last 2.5 months, and now I got to get back into that mind frame that quick? No.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is there were, I'm gonna be honest, he was on pace. He was on pace to go back-to-back.
He was one to win it going away, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah. He was running away with a second MVP trophy. Yeah,
I don't think it was a question. I don't think it was a question whether, and I'm a Joker guy. Joker, I thought, I think Joker's going to win it this year. Yeah. Sure. Luka's doing what Luka's doing. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Jason Tatum. Those guys are all doing what they're doing. I think that Embiid, it could have quite possibly been unanimous that he won the league MVP.
Right. No, I agree.
It could have been.
1,000%. It actually annoys me because it's like, you know, them going into the finals, because I'll admit, you know, I have my reservations about Boston, and I can't argue anything on paper. The only thing I can argue is, do they have enough dogs in the doghouse or in that foxhole? That's really my whole thing. Like, listen, the Knicks game last night against Boston was everything I thought it would be. I said, if the Knicks go out there and play that hard-nosed defense that they play and Jalen Brunson does what Jalen Brunson does, listen, they're going to force the, you know, and I've told you this already, what my issue with Tatum is, bro, go get it at the rim. Who can stop you? Who on the floor can stop you from being Jason Tatum? I always say, Jason Tatum, the only thing holding Jason Tatum back is Jason Tatum. I don't think there's a player in the NBA that can stop you one-on-one. I don't think there's not a shot you can't get off, because what is he, 6'9", unk? He's 6'9", playing the three. Like, there's not a jumper you can't get off. There's no way you can't. Most people on the wing perimeter guarding you are between 6'6", 6'. Like, you're bigger than most matchups you get on the wing. You have to dominate your matchup.
You are any matchup that you get, you're the favorite. What home game standing in front of you, you are the favorite. Sure.
Thank you. And I hate that he settles. And the Knicks, we just exploited that. If you're going to settle, we're going to run your ass to the ground. We're going to play hard defense, Paul, no Diddy, and we're going to run. And so I looked at that game, and I was telling the friend, I said, I'm taking the Knicks tonight, because they're going to play with a chip. And because they're going to come out there and play with a chip, because they're going to want the win, it's about, is Boston going to match that intensity? Because when I look on paper, I can't dispute nothing on paper. I can't dispute the paper. My issue is the humans. When like the reality sets in, you got to go out there and really do it. I'm nervous. They make me nervous every time, because I hate the way he settles.
Well, I got roasted yesterday by the fellas, because they telling me that I was overreacting. I was pissed about that performance on Friday. For them to come in here with your guys, right, on the floor, by the way, it wasn't like you sat everybody and you played with a bunch of rotation guys. No, yes. This, in fact, this is the first time, one of the few times that your unit was together. For them to come in here, smoke you dudes like that, and what did they do? What did they do specifically? J-Rob, you're a football player. When we get on the field, one of the things that we're going to try to do, we're going to try to take away what you do and make you play our game, because we're not going to be able to beat you at your game. So what are the Knicks? What is their staple? The Knicks staple. We're a bunch of dirty work, hard nose, tough guys. How do we get our buckets? We get our buckets in transition. We get our buckets playing defense. We get our buckets with Jalen Brunson with minimal action, but we get our buckets that way. But for the most part, the things that we do, we feel like we're the best in the league at it. We're the best in the league at dirty work stuff. We're the best in the league playing defense. We're the best in the league at just being tough. And we're just going to out-tough you. And that's what I saw against the Celtics. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, sure, they don't have anything to play for. Yeah, sure, this isn't that big of a deal. Right. To you guys, isn't a big of a deal. We might have to see these guys in the playoffs. What happens if we got to see these guys in the playoffs after this performance right here? You know what this does for them? This puts a lot of confidence in them. You know, we went up there and smoked them dudes. We made them play our game. We out-toughed them. We out-roughed them. I love everything about what the Knicks did. I was pissed with what I saw with the Boston Celtics. You overreacting, OG. It's just one game. This is how it starts. This is exactly how it starts where it's just one game. I said this probably 2 months ago when they lost to the Lakers, no Anthony Davis, no LeBron James, and they basically just got smoked in their building with that Laker team. And I said, quote, you aren't good enough to just show up. If that's the kind of performance that we're going to get, then you guys could just stay home. And when you play against that Knicks team who, watching Tibbs, they're going to give all effort. I'm watching Mitchell Robinson, clean glass. I'm watching Hartenstein, clean glass. Not just clean glass. I'm watching OG Anunoby get in the passing lanes, be tough, be the defensive player that he is. And I'm watching Jalen Brunson basically just go to work on Jrue Holiday. Just went to work on Jrue Holiday. Meanwhile, I'm watching a Boston Celtics team that's just there. And the fact that you're just there and you don't match that intensity, what that does is that gives a team like the New York Knicks the kind of confidence where they think that they can beat you. And the last thing that you want to do with a team like the New York Knicks is make them think that we can beat you, because that toughness, the way that we play, that's going to get amplified come playoff time. We're going to be even more on the glass. We're going to be even more in the passing lanes. We're going to be even more diving on the floor for loose balls. Josh Howard had 15 rebounds. Josh Hart. Yeah, 15 rebounds.
And you know, his rebounds is, he's probably one of the best rebounding guards in the NBA, and it's all hustle. It's all effort. It's all effort.
I didn't appreciate that effort at all. I didn't. I got roasted. Chill, yo. That was just one. I was like, y'all dudes think that this is one game. No, I'm not buying that at all. It was not. It was not one game. No, it wasn't. That was a big deal. And the fact that they lost in the fashion that they lost to, who they lost to, in their building, no. You dudes can look past this like it was nothing. No, it was way more than that. Way more.
Nah, I agree. And the other thing, I'm glad that you got frustrated about it, because I think one of the issues with the Celtics is everybody, to me, in the NBA community has this, like, they'll be fine mentality. And what annoys me about that is, why are we talking about them as if they'll be fine, as if we have some sort of history to lean on?
We don't.
I don't remember them winning the championship.
We don't.
I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember them losing to Jimmy Butler. I remember 2022. I've seen them get close, but there's no way that you should go in as a Celtics fan or a person who believes they're going to the finals and feel like, oh, they'll be okay because of how they performed on a Friday night against the New York Knicks. That matters, because like you just said to us, that we're a week away from the playoffs. Your intensity level should be at an all-time high. The reason why the Knicks went to Boston and played the way they played is because, I promise you, the New York Knicks believe they can go to the finals. I promise you they do. They don't think it's a fluke. They don't think that they're in the position that they're in by accident. They don't think they're on some lucky run. They want to show the world that we are finally here, bro. New York, we've yearned for this level of intensity. Like, I'll be honest, I feel like Jalen Brunson bringing almost a bigger aura to the city than Carmelo. Like, that's what it feels sometimes. Like, I feel a different level of what's the word I'm looking for?
Confidence. It's a different level of confidence.
Yeah, it is.
100% it is. To be honest with you, J-Rob, this is one of those situations very much like what's going on in Philadelphia with Joel Embiid. Man, I wish Julius Randle was healthy, because, man, we're having a way different conversation about the Knicks if Julius Randle was healthy. Way different. I'm telling you right now. I challenge any one of you guys in the East, and that includes the Boston Celtics, if Julius Randle is healthy. I challenge any one of you to think that y'all could just walk by these dudes if Julius Randle is healthy. Even though I think that the Celtics could probably beat them, but I think that it's a way different conversation, because you now have that dirty work. You have that other dirty work guy. And I'm watching them last. I'll give you an example of last night, for example. Mm-hmm. They played against Brooklyn. One of the guys that I'm really impressed with on the Knicks is OG Anunoby. One, his face-up game has gotten so much better. That's number one. His defense, he's always been one of the best on-ball defenders in the game at 6'6", 6'7", beating guys to spots, not being able to get roughed up, being smart on defense. He doesn't foul a lot. He's always been one of those guys. The thing that I appreciate about his game, one, he can knock down the long ball in terms of facing up.
Right.
He's one of the consummate D3 guys. But his face-up game, like I saw Tibbs actually running stuff for him.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Calling his number, right? And with him running stuff for him, That's a level of confidence that he has that he didn't have before. Mm-hmm. Now that he's got that, if you put Julius Randle in that lineup healthy, and if I'm the Knicks, line them all up.
Watch out. Yeah, watch out.
Line them all up. Any one of you dudes that want it, you could get it. Because that's the New York attitude.
Yeah, it is.
That's the New York attitude, 100%. And a team like the Knicks had that. That's why being healthy is the most important thing. And it got a little chippy last night, too, which I like.
I expect that with the Knicks.
I expect that with the Knicks in Brooklyn. Because, one, Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart. First of all, I know these dudes. Right? Yeah. That's number one. We probably live in the same vicinity.
Right.
So
right,
I see these dudes when I'm out and about. So you know the trash talking is there. So with a team like Brooklyn, who really doesn't have anything to play for except to hold on to their draft pick, it's still New York. And I thought last night, OG Anunoby, he was the guy who I was paying attention to the most. Mm-hmm, I saw his confidence increase. Mm-hmm. I saw how well he was playing defense. I expect Mitchell Robinson to be on the glass. He's arguably the best offensive rebounder in the game. And I thought he did a really good job on Claxton last night. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they actually stood in front of Brooklyn and recognized that even though we're in the playoffs, we still have something to play for. One, we got pride to play for. And these seedings aren't done yet.
They're not done.
These seedings are not done yet. We can get the 2 seed. We can still get the 3 seed. This thing isn't over yet. So I enjoyed that Knick game last night. I did too.
You know, obviously I'm a fan. I'm biased. But you know what else, Unc? I'm glad you said something. I just want to just quick caveat. I love the fact that you said you love the way they was chirping at each other. Because you know what? You know what? We need to embrace that same level of intensity and competition in the women's basketball game.
It's basketball, man.
It's basketball. It's basketball. Part of the game.
I'm acting like that.
Yeah. Let Diana Taurasi, you know, let her pump her chest. She deserves it. It's competition. I love it. I love it.
Hey, Rob, I'm better than you. I'll bust your ass.
No, thank you.
Jay, no, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't.
Let's talk about it.
Cover me. This dude can't cover me. This dude think he better than me? Man, please. That's basketball.
Man, please. It's basketball. Check Rock. Let's find out about it.
Who's acting like that?
So we're going to get to the Lakers, but I do want to say something else to you that I want to ask you about because I really want to hear your opinion. Do you think that Darius Garland is a bit held back by having Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland?
I do think that. And I think that off the strength that when he was an all-star, they were building that unit. And
around him,
there's a reason why they maxed him out.
Yeah,
because they were building that unit around him, Mobley, Allen. They had just gotten Okoro. Yep. So this young group was doing something. You bring in Donovan Mitchell, well, now the timeline gets moved up. Right. Well, Donovan Mitchell is now playing off the ball. At this point, Darius Garland is still trying to figure out who he is. You bring in Donovan Mitchell, and now that kind of complicates things even more because I'm still trying to figure out what my role is. I feel like I'm that guy on this team. I made the all-star team, and I'm the point guard of the future. They maxed me out. But now bring in Donovan Mitchell, who is also ball dominant, who now needs the basketball. It kind of takes away from my game, even though Donovan Mitchell isn't trying to do that. Donovan Mitchell actually wants him to be that. But psychologically, we get this wing player who I still think is the best two-guard in the game. We bring him in, and instead of me being more of a distributor, I'm still trying to figure my game out. And with me trying to figure my game out, Evan Mobley's still trying to figure his game out. Jared Allen is still trying to figure his game out. And we're all growing together. Bring Donovan Mitchell, who's the vet, who's been to the playoffs, deep into the playoffs. This accelerates now our growth. And I feel like Darius Garland really wasn't prepared for that.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of stifled him a little bit. I think it slowed him down as opposed to if they ended up sticking with the group that they had. They ended up sticking with Lauri Markkanen and not trading for Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
And you got Darius Garland. You go get a two guard. You keep Markkanen. You got Mobley. You got Allen. Now, if we got this group, maybe we're on to something. But you add Donovan Mitchell, which, by the way, I'm on record by saying this, J-Rob, that if Donovan Mitchell does not sign that extension this summer, I'm out.
I'm out.
LeBron James wrote the blueprint for me. He wrote the blueprint on when your star player does not sign an extension and it's a contract, you move him. I'm not getting left holding the bag again. I'm not. Yeah. Absolutely not. I am not getting left holding the bag again. So I think people look at Darius Garland like he's soft. I don't think he's soft more than he's just unsure about what he's supposed to be doing. And that's largely due to Donovan Mitchell showing up. And with a guy like Donovan Mitchell showing up, especially being the young guard that he is, that kind of slows down the not my process, but it confuses it more than anything.
No, I agree. I 1,000% agree. I think it's hard to find an identity if you don't know what you're asked to do. Oh, we got a super chat. As a Mavs fan, I never want to lose no matter what. This time I want to lose, even if it means we have to score in our own basket. It will mean we play OKC in the second round instead of the Nuggets. I don't know if you want to play OKC in the second round. My question is this. Can SGA and J-Dub go band for band with Luka and Kyrie Irving?
No. I don't think so. Even as good as Kyrie Irving is, and Kyrie Irving's having one of his better seasons, the issue that I'm having with Kyrie Irving is the issue that I had with him in 2022, how I thought they did a great job scheming on him, keeping him away from the basketball, and double-teaming him, how Boston jumped him, how Boston took him out of the offense. And then the year before that, he broke down. So and from a talent standpoint, no. I don't think J-Dub can't see him. No, absolutely not. He can't see Kyrie Irving. The difference is can Kyrie Irving hold up? That's number one. Number two, can he handle the schemes, that Mark Dagnard is going to throw at him, where they're going to double him? They're gonna do that. They're gonna do what they can to keep the ball away from him, like Boston did, right? So I think those are the things that people are gonna be concerned with more than anything. Now I will say this, too, Rob: if both Luka and Kyrie Irving got it going,
see you later. Yeah, when those two are hot, man, I don't think there's a better backcourt in the NBA.
They're gonna be really difficult to deal with.
The problem is, I don't know. Can you really blitz any one of them? Can you blitz one? Because if you blitz one, you got the other one. Like, I don't want Kyrie on the island. I don't want to have Kyrie on the island against anybody, but I don't want Luka on the island against anybody. So as a coach, like, what do you do?
Well, here's the thing, J-Rob. If we're in the meeting room, take blitz out of your playbook. Okay. We're not blitzing Kyrie. Just like we ain't blitzing Tom Brady, We're not blitzing Kyrie Irving. We're not blitzing Luka. Yeah. No, we're not doing that, because if we do that, we're going to get destroyed. You see what Gafford is at the rim. You see how wide open P.J. Washington is.
Yo!
Down shots. When they speed the game up, we're not blitzing these guys. No, what we're going to do is we're going to do our best to, when Luka gets off the ball, when Kyrie Irving gets off the ball, keep the ball away from these guys.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do. Get these guys out of rhythm. And what we want to do, we want to play fast, but we also want to pick spots when we play fast. Because what Luka does, Luka gets the ball off the glass, whether it's Gafford, whether it's Luka, whether it's P.J. Washington, whether it's Derek Lively, they get the ball off the glass. That ball is hopping up the floor, gone,
Yeah.
So if the ball is hopping going up the floor, we got to get back in transition.
Right.
Now, if we're playing fast, they're going to speed the game up. That may affect our transition defense. Right. We don't want to do that. So we want to pick and choose when we play fast against this Dallas team. Because one thing is for sure. If we try to get into a track meet with them, they'll run
us over.
It is. We got to pick and choose the times when we're going to play fast.
I think I might do maybe like the Spurs defense on LeBron. Like Luka starts driving to the rim. We're going to collapse. PJ Washington going to have to go 10 for 10 from three. You know? Like Daniel Gafford, those guys, they're going to – and I'm not saying you're going to have to collapse every single time, but I'm going to make sure it's hard for him to get a basket at the rim.
Yeah.
Even in like – I don't even want him getting to the free throw line. I don't even want him to throw a floater at the free throw line. I'm going to make it hard for him to get inside the restricted area, inside the paint. I'm going to try that, because reality of, you're not stopping them anyway. You're just trying to make their night harder. Well, so Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, here's the thing. I think that we're jumping the gun here with Oklahoma City. Even though I do think that they're going to beat the Clippers, I feel like this matchup with the Clippers is a really good matchup for them. I feel like it's a really good matchup for them because they can counter anything that the Clippers throw at them. So we'll start the conversation, J-Rob, with the Clippers playing fast. Well, you want to play fast? In fact, that's what we want to do. So we want Daniel Gafford running the floor. Because he's going to outrun Zubac, right? He's going to outrun Plumlee. He's going to outrun Theis. And Luka is looking for him. Not just Luka. PJ Washington. Irv is looking for him at the rim. I think he started another streak where he's like something crazy, J-Rob, like 22 straight buckets. Yeah. And that's largely due to them playing fast. Well, what does Ty Lue do to counter that? What he's going to do is he's going to go small. Perfect. Because now when he goes small, what we're going to do is we're going to slow the game down. Yeah. When we slow the game down, we're going to go one-on-one. We're staying big, though. We're staying with Derek Lively. We're staying with Gafford. And not only are we staying with them dudes, Luka gets downhill, and now those guys at the rim are even better because we're bigger than you guys. Right. I think they serve the Clippers. I do.
I ain't going to lie. I think they serve the Clippers, too. I mean, listen, I'm going to be honest, man. We really need to talk about James Harden because – to me, from what I've seen, I could be wrong. Westbrook's more of a winning player than him right now. I do not look at James Harden as a legitimate winning basketball player. I think he does a lot of good things. He's a talented basketball player. But to a guy to be the catalyst or to be my floor general to a championship, I just don't see it. I don't see it. Like, I watch Westbrook come off the bench and just be an absolute dog. Do the dirty work. Do the things that everybody's not going to do. Same way what Josh Hart does for the Knicks, that's what Westbrook comes in and does for the Clippers. Like, I'm going to just fill in all the cracks. I'm going to be the cement guy, and I'm going to fill in all the potholes. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to just do my job. And when I look at a James Harden, are you going to play him 40 minutes in the playoffs? You're going to play him 38 minutes in the playoffs? You're going to play him 35 minutes in the playoffs? I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing that. I just don't see it. I think I would actually almost rather play. I would rather play Westbrook for more minutes because of what he does on the floor than what James Harden does on the floor. Look, I know it's hard to talk about James Harden, but I really
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I don't think he's a winning basketball player. Like, I don't know. I would love for him to prove me wrong. I think he's a fabulous basketball player. I just don't know if he's a winning one.
Quick side note. So you brought up Josh Hart, and there are general managers in the league that are looking at Josh Hart going, we need that.
Yeah.
In order for us to win, that's what we need right there. Right. What can we do to get that? So we already know that the Knicks not coming off him. But what can we do to get something like that? We need that. Number two, I was roasted when I said I didn't like the James Harden to the Clippers logic. Off the strength that
I didn't like it either.
What Russ was doing last season, I felt like he was the perfect guy for what they were doing. I'm the lead guard. I take the pressure off both Leonard and Paul George. In the process of me doing that, I get guys involved. I can get myself involved. Yeah, I'm going to turn the basketball over. Yes, I'm going to take some untimely shots. But that's no different than James Harden shooting less than 40% for the month of March and shooting barely 20% on the long ball. That's no different. It's basically the same thing. And then when we get into the meat and potatoes of the game, Russ can get off the ball. You're going to run action for Paul George. You're going to run action for Leonard. And these guys are going to close the game. And Russell Westbrook, he's going to do the other things. He's going to get loose ball rebounds. He's going to get 50-50 balls where you can keep him away from the action and let these guys close the game. You bring James Harden on. Okay, you got a guy who can make an open shot. Absolutely. You got a guy who can distribute. Absolutely. I have no problem with that. So can Russ. Russ can do that too. I just felt like I felt like Russ fit better with this unit. I felt like you had to switch some things around with James Harden. And the fact that now we're in a situation where the playoffs are coming and he's kind of backing into the playoffs. And the fact that he's backing into the playoffs, I feel like this is eerily a similar theme to what I've seen in the past, which ultimately is going to be the same result. And that's why, J-Rob, I've already told you this. You want me to believe in the Clippers, I need to see a parade on Figueroa Boulevard. That's the only way.
The only way is for them to win a championship. That's the only way, Unc. Going to the finals is not enough for me. Because it took y'all 5 years to do that. It took y'all since 2019 to do that. So you're hitting the hammer on the nail. It's a fact. Unc, so the Lakers, they're in the eighth seed right now. Yep. I'm going to be honest. As much as I want to, you know, James is my dog. Yeah, we know this. I can't get behind a coach, Unc. I've been covering the Lakers all year. Shout out to Lakers Digest. As somebody who's been a Lakers, literally a Lakers reporter all year, been covering the team all year. I have tried to have as objective a lens as possible. I've tried to let Darvin Ham figure out how to be a coach, go through the ups and downs. But I'm just going to keep looking back at that Warriors game the other night, not the Grizzlies, the other night when they play the Warriors. 3 minutes left in the 3 minutes left in the third quarter. They get outscored by 15. You have a lineup that consists of five players that have never, ever, ever, ever in their life been on the floor together, have no rapport with each other. Spencer Dinwiddie came out a buyout. Gabe Vincent has been healthy for a week. He's been back a week. And you put that lineup out with Jackson Hayes and D'Angelo Russell for 3 minutes and you lose the game. And all I could think in my head is, and this has been my problem all year, Unc, I don't think it takes rocket science to figure out some of these rotations for the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, the players, what they do on the floor, that's one thing. But putting the right guys on the floor together, like I look at Darvin Ham with his hands in his pocket all the time, and I just like, yo, what are you doing? Like, Unc, at some time we don't even
bought out. Are you gonna do anything? Are you gonna do anything? Just I don't mean like run up in it. Are you gonna do anything? Just do something. Do something. Like take your hands out your pockets, scream at somebody, throw the clipboard on the floor.
Yes, bro.
Are you gonna do anything? Or are you just gonna sit there and watch this?
Where is your intensity level? Because I can't watch this no more. Like you're literally losing the game. You're getting outscored with this terrible lineup, and you're just gonna watch it happen. And the sad part is, with the Lakers being in the eighth seed, if they finish out, you know, they get a Oklahoma City or Minnesota in the first round, I think they'll win. I think they could win because they have James. But the problem is, if they want any chance to do anything worth a damn, because winning one playoff series is not their standard, that's not what they want. It's the coach. Like, you can't be in a dogfight with – you can't be in a game three against let's say you're playing Denver in the Western Conference, and you're putting out Gabe Vincent, Dinwiddie, Jackson Hayes, D'Lo.
Get them Ham off the floor. Get them. I can't handle it. I can't handle it, J-Rock. Get
Darvin Ham. Yo, look. You have no idea how crazy Darvin Ham is. You have no idea, Unc. You have no idea how terrible Darvin Ham has been.
So really quick, J-Rob. So
I
want to go back to what you just got finished talking about. So number one, no Anthony Davis. So I feel like that was one of the main reasons why you lost a couple of nights ago, because he's the difference. He dominates Draymond Green. He dominates Jackson Davis. He's the big. He's basically your back line and your defense. He's your best rebounder. The fact that he's off the floor, that is the difference in you not being able to win that game. That's number one. Number two, J-Rob, go get the 96 Bulls. Go get the 87 Lakers. Go get the 2001 Lakers. Go get the 86 Celtics. None of y'all are beating a team that's shooting 60% on the long ball. Nobody. Nobody is beating the Warriors when Draymond cracks five threes in a row. That's not happening. When Andrew Wiggins cracks three open threes in a row, when Gary Payton is cracking threes, nobody is beating them. Now, that's a bit extreme because they haven't done anything like that ever, by the way. I'm not saying that they haven't done anything like that in a long time. They haven't done anything like that ever. So the fact that they haven't done anything like that ever, what does that tell me? That tells me that that's what it took in order to beat these guys. Now, as far as you were talking about in the last 3.5 minutes, James comes off the floor. I'm not even thinking about the rotations. He sticks – the problem with Darvin Ham is he sticks to a specific rotation no matter what the situation is. James will start the game – James in particular. James will start the game. He'll come out of the game with about 5 minutes left in the first. He won't start the second. He'll play – he'll come back in with probably about 8 minutes. He'll finish the quarter, then he'll start the third, and then right around 3-4 minutes left in the third, he comes out of the game, and he'll sit, then begin another fourth, and then he'll close the game. No matter what the situation is, J-Rob. So now here we are, 3.5 minutes. You guys are back in the game. It's a two-possession game. You're down 6. James does not need to come off the floor. No. You were on a run. In the process of you being on that run, your team is rolling. James doesn't need to come off the floor. James comes off the floor. That 6-point lead goes to 17. Just like that. Now James has to come back in. He's going to start the fourth. And him starting the fourth, you go on an 8-0 run and you cut the lead, but it took almost all your energy to get back in the game. It took almost all your energy to get back in the game, and now you're basically wiped out. So rotations are very big when it comes to the playoffs. And I think that your assistant coaches, one of the two things is going on. Either your assistant coaches are incompetent or you're just not listening to them. Because I'm sure that they recognize mismatches. I'm sure that they recognize when Jackson Hayes, when Halls come, I keep calling them Halls, I'm sorry. When Hayes, Spencer Hayes comes in the game, when he comes in the game, recognize that their big guy, like Draymond, can't run the floor like that. And we can maybe speed the game up and get some easy buckets. Your assistant coaches recognize that. And I'm relaying that to you, J-Rob. Yo, we got to speed the game up. Okay, we got a mismatch with Steph Curry on, we got a mismatch with Steph Curry on D'Angelo Russell. He scored the last two times. Go to him again. Stuff like that. If you don't relay, if I don't, as an assistant coach, relay that, right? If I don't relay that to my crew, then I'm not doing my job. The question is what is Dalvin Ham doing? Is he not listening to these guys, or is he just not getting this information? I'm thinking it's the other part. I think that he's just not doing it.
No, I agree. I think honestly that sometimes he's in over his head. And I think the other issue is,
you think, you know, that's what we are, J-Rob? At this point, you feel like he's...
I think he's in over his head. I think he's in over his head. I thought he's been in over his head for a minute, and I've tried to give him, you know, some grace, because when you're playing with a LeBron James, right, Anthony Davis, come on, we've seen some head coaches. We've seen some head coaches win championships who I don't think you and I would say were very good head coaches. You know what I'm saying? Like, or... we've seen just great players bring guys along. Like, let's be honest. Like, Frank Vogel's a known defensive coach. Known defensive coach. The Suns look terrible defensively. But when we look back with how they were with the Lakers, we can say, well, Frank Vogel had a good defensive game plan. But we can also say, well, LeBron James, AD, Rondo on the court, who have high back. Rondo and LeBron by themselves have crazy basketball IQ. And you have the biggest lineup. So they're going to exploit the hell out of that anyway. But I don't think if you don't have a LeBron James or a Rondo and Anthony Davis out there, you might have – if you have another set of guys, is Frank Vogel really doing that with another group? I don't know. And so I think players definitely have a – you know, they have an impact. Because I'm going to be honest, like, I wasn't big on Budenholzer in Milwaukee.
Right.
But when you got a Giannis who breaking a game, and then you go to a finals where one player – straight up takes the game over.
Yeah.
I don't think Coach Bud got any better as a coach. I just think he got great players around.
Great players have a tendency to mask. Great players have a tendency to mask coaches' deficiencies. And I feel like last season, as good as James is, I mean, as good as Dalvin Ham was, I felt like they had a tendency to mask a lot of his. And don't get me wrong, he's a first-year coach. Right, he was a first-year coach, and I do think that he deserves more credit than that for being a first-year coach. I don't think that it was all James. I don't think it was all Anthony Davis. I do think that Dalvin Ham did do some things in order to help them win games, right? I do – even though his rotations were a bit sketchy, sure. Even though his rotations were a bit sketchy, and he might not have called a timeout when the team went on a run, and I understand why. Like, a lot of you guys think that when a team goes on an 8-0 run that you got to call timeout. Depends on the team. Now, if Memphis goes on an 8-0 run, I'm really not tripping on Memphis going on an 8-0 run, because as good as Ja is, as good as Jaren Jackson Jr., like, they're going to let us back in the game. If Denver goes on an 8-0 run with that kind of offense, that 8 points could turn into 16 just like that. So we got to shut this down. We got to slow this down right now. So it depends on the situation. Not every team that goes on a run warrants a timeout. It depends on who you're going up against. It depends on what kind of run it is. If the Warriors crack three threes in a row and they go on a 9-0 run, timeout. Let's stop this right now. Because that 9-0 run could go, that 9-point lead could turn to 20 just like that if you don't shut this down. So it depends. But I think that Darvin Ham is, and I know you covered him, J-Rob, but I do think that there are some things that he does good. I do think that. But there are but the problem is we see him on the sideline looking like the dude waiting for a ride after school.
I can't stand it.
Can you handle it, J-Rob? Can you handle it, J-Rob?
I can't stand it, bro. I'll coach the Lakers.
Move, yo.
Give me the job. I'll coach the Lakers. I keep saying, even the fact that, I got you. Even the fact that it took the Lakers 4 months to start Rui Hachimura. I do not have to be a basketball savant to tell you that Cam Reddish and Torian Prince should be playing more minutes than Rui. I don't think that's a hard decision to get to.
You don't need to coach in the NBA for 10 years, J-Rob. Nope. Recognize that. That dude need to be on the floor. Take that dude out. Put that dude on the floor. You do not need to be coaching in college for 10 years. You do not have to have watched the NBA for 15 years to see that dude need to be playing. That dude shouldn't be playing. You do not need that. No. And there's plenty of times when I've watched the Lakers and I've screamed at the TV, get Prince over. J-Rob, I'm convinced he got tape. He has to. He's got film. Either he's got film or he's got some sort of documents. Something's going on. It has to be.
I agree. We got some people in the back. Want me to bring them up?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Let's
talk about it.
Salute.
What up?
Salute. Remember what I said about those 50 wins?
Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Let's go.
Did I not come on that show and say Knicks would win 50 games?
You did say that.
And nobody remembers how good and accurate I've been.
You did say
that. Can we get Mikal Bridges to the Knicks so he can reunite with his Villanova?
No. Can I say something about Bridges? Bridges is the type of person that if you throw like dynamite, he's dynamite. But you will be throwing him into a volcano because he's going to start messing with how Josh Hart is. Everybody right now on the Knicks is laughing, having a good time, and joking like they're comfortable. You add Mikal Bridges with his attitude, that's going to throw us all off. Plus, we already got OG.
There you go, right there.
OG's doing, how he's able to create his own shot and play defense, why are we adding someone like that? We need to find a backup for him. J-Rob, you were wrong about Melo.
Because Mikal takes up two spaces right now that a guy like Bogdan and Alec Burks is taking up. So you combine those two players and Mikal Bridges, you get a younger player, you get a more athletic player, you get a better scorer off the ball, and you get another guy who plays defense. I'm looking at it from the perspective of we've all seen it. We watched the game. We've seen that Julius Randle has a tendency to get hurt. We've seen that sometimes you guys have to depend on your backup bigs a whole lot, you know, majority of the seasons. So could you imagine a starting five at one point being Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, and then somebody like Isaiah Hartenstein, a starting lineup of that sort, where you can have a guy like Josh Hart or Mikal coming off the bench, or you can have a guy like Dante and Mikal coming off the bench. I'm not saying it from a perspective of like just a basketball talk. I'm just saying that, just reunite the man with his Villanova brothers.
Okay, say that part right there, because this really doesn't work any other way. Just say you want to see them back together. Just say that.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, look at this face.
So just say that. Okay, if you're saying that, okay. But don't say to me that you want to see these dudes back together because this works. Because number one, if you're taking Alec Burke and you're taking Bojan off the floor, who's our rotation now?
And you're going to put Briggs off the bench? Like, Bridges is actually going to come off the bench?
No,
no, he's not.
No.
He's not. Hell, and he's going to take the spot of Josh Hart.
He's not. Listen,
why can't Dante or Hart come off the bench?
Thank you. Like, they can come.
Whoa. You're telling me.
And listen,
if we got Mikal Bridges, we'd have a historically, like, one of the best defenses.
You're wrong because Dante this year beat out Grimes. Dante beat out Grimes.
And Mikal Bridges in a lineup, we wouldn't have one of the best.
He's worthy of stepping up and being the two guard one, and he's shooting above 40%. He's the third most person in the league right now shooting three balls, and he already broke the record for the Knicks as far as the long ball. Why would you take a guy that's doing that much work in the season and can prove himself to bring in a guy like Mikal Bridges, who is very washy, but at least with Dante, you know you're going to get defense, you know you're going to get those three ball shots and a couple of steals, as well as transition. No, you're going to mess up this whole core adding of Bridges. Well, you need is a backup.
I don't know if I agree.
We're messing up the same thing from Bridges, though.
Yeah, I don't think we're messing up the core adding Bridges. I think you're acting seamlessly, bro.
And we've already seen, my bad, J-Rob, but I'm just saying, I didn't mean to cut you off, J-Rob. We've seen with them bringing over Dante and them incorporating Jalen Brunson with Josh Hart, we've seen that the simple fact that these guys were in college playing with each other, they have clicked instantly. Even with Dante jumping on the crew, you've seen that these guys have clicked instantly. I don't think it would be a problem bringing over Mikal with the team chemistry. I just think at that point, what you have is you have about three or four guys that you can play from the two to the three position. And I mean, could you imagine a situation where, say, because we've seen where Jalen Brunson sometimes comes off the court, the Knicks offense is stagnant. They're stagnant. And we've seen this. Imagine Jalen Brunson coming off the court, and now you've got a secondary unit depending on the offense from Dante and Mikal. That's a good enough offense that can survive the minutes where Jalen Brunson is off the floor for the 10 to 15 minutes during the game. I'm just saying, you can apply basketball logic to it, but I'm just looking at it from a fan's perspective. Man, just get the Villanova guys together, man.
Who are we missing this year for you to make that assessment? We're missing Randall. You're missing Randall's offense and his impact on the game. We already have that. And plus with Randall, it's more consistent because with the double teams, when they start double teaming Brunson next year even more, like they did with Randall last year, it's going to help out Randall down low, and he's not going to have to play as hard. Plus we have Precious Achiuwa to back him up defensively. So again, we add Bridges. That's more power to the offense, but we're going to lose out on defense, and we're also going to lose out on the long ball. And he creates a lot of turnovers.
I just think we've looked at Bridges like he's lost defense because he's gone from being the third and even the fourth option when he was in Phoenix to now he's looked at as the number one or number two option, depending on how you look at Cam Thomas for the Brooklyn Nets. If you put him back in the situation that he was most comfortable in, where he was in Phoenix, and even Chilltown has said it when there was a, you know, when he was up for Defensive Player of the Year that year against Marcus Smart. He had all rights to win that award that year over Marcus Smart. So if you put him back into a situation where he's not looked at to carry the offense or be a 27 per game scorer like he was when he first got over to Brooklyn, I think like what J-Rob was saying, if you pair him up with the likes of a guy like OG Anunoby, you got two great wing defenders, you got a dirty work guy and Josh Hart, and then you can get a good bit of your offense, especially off-ball movement, from him and Dante. I think that's better than you trying to bring in and implement guys like Bogdan and Alec Burks, who, if we're being honest, Mikal Bridges does what those two guys do in one player. That's all I'm saying.
He costs too much. That's number one. That's number one, the fact that he costs too much. Number two, I don't know if you noticed, but the Knicks have won five of their last six games. They're rolling right now with the crew that they got. Now, the difference with this crew, and I can appreciate what you just said, because, again, you've already made it clear. You just want them on the crew for aesthetics. That's really what it is at the end of the day. You like Mikal? Let's get him back with his Villanova boys. Right. This thing is working just fine with OG Anunoby. In fact, it's working really well. If you watched them yesterday, and I just said this to J-Rob, One of the things that I'm the most impressed with OG, his face-up game has gotten a lot better. A lot better. Not only has his face-up game gotten a lot better, defensively on this crew, he's gotten a lot better. And it just seems to work with these guys. Now, if I'm adding another wing, all I'm doing is I'm just adding more salt. Now, more salt could screw up the meal. I don't need any more salt. What I may need is maybe some paprika, right? Maybe I need to add a little bit of more vegetable. That's Julius Randle. Randle on the crew. Now we're talking about something completely different. I don't think that they need Mikal Bridges off the strength that everything that he does, we already have that. Mikal Bridges doesn't crack the long ball like Bonyan. He doesn't crack the long ball like Alec Burke. And we don't need him to do that. You need him as like you just talked about, one of his specialties is a defender. Well, we already have that in OG and in Obi. We already good in that aspect. Where we're not good at is we're not good on the block. We ain't got nobody that can score in the paint outside of Jalen Brunson. If we had our 24-10 guy, you dudes in the Eastern Conference, oh, y'all up against it. Y'all waiting. Well,
I think the only reason why he looks like he doesn't shoot the ball is because even if you went back to his – once again, if you just go back and look at his numbers when he's playing in Phoenix, he's actually a better shooter coming off the ball. So him comparable to Alex and Bogdan, he actually can score. He just is what we got lost in is this year with the Nets. We've all seen, okay, you can't really depend on him as your number one go-to scoring option. He is a better off-ball scorer, and he's a guy who you don't need to center around your offense. I'm not even saying that y'all need the Knicks necessarily need him to win. Like you said, I've started out by saying I just want to see the man reunited with his Villanova brother. Right?
That's fine.
While we're on the subject of it, if we can't get it in real life, I'm getting ready to trade all those guys to Philadelphia on 2K anyway. So I'm going to see if I can.
J-Rob, I got some smoke for you when you're ready.
I'm ready.
It's about Melo. What you said about Melo.
I'm just letting y'all do y'all thing, you know. You know, I want to hear y'all what y'all got to say. Go ahead, Cowboy. What you got? You said you got smoke for me, Cowboy. What's the smoke?
It's just about what you said with Melo. I don't think you've given Melo a fair enough shot because if you look at how the Knicks are, the Knicks, when we had Ewing, the front office, the coaching, everything was clicking. That's the same thing we have now with Brunson. Everybody's clicking, the front office, the coaching, they're all on the same page and we're successful. When he was here, Melo, we didn't have that. Most of our players was hurt. Front office, everybody was arguing with the coaches. We kept changing coaches. We kept trying to change schemes. He wouldn't change up his game because the way he was so dominant in that. So for me, and you saying that Brunson is better than Melo, that's not fair. Because Melo
Anthony?
Yeah. A lot of people's been saying that Brunson is better than Melo.
Where I've been at?
Hold on. I said.
We also have problems in Denver, too, with coaching and
Uncle
stuff.
Uncle Chio, where I've been at?
Hold on. All I said is, listen, I do think Jalen Brunson's aura in New York has been bigger than Melo's. I remember, listen, Cowboy, you're talking to another Knicks fan. I remember both eras, bro. And I remember the Jeremy Lin, Melo era when we finally went to the playoffs. I remember that whole era, bro. So I'm not about to sit here and discredit nothing Melo did. But I do feel like the level of confidence that I have in the Knicks with Jalen Brunson at the head of the snake than with Melo, I think there's a clear difference. And the reason why I feel that way is because I love Melo. That's my dog. I think Melo does not get enough credit as a scorer. I don't think he gets enough credit as a player. Like, I still hate the Pistons to this day for not drafting him because I think his legacy would be so different if he just goes to the Detroit Pistons coming out of the draft.
He might not play, though, J-Rod.
That might be worse.
Yeah, but the thing is, but the way that ring culture is, he would have probably got a ring. And then as we talked about him in his later years, I think we would give him a lot more grace than we do because of what ring culture is and winning biases and things of that nature. Right.
And he would have won it early when James was here.
He won it early. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he was held to a high enough standard.
I'm on record saying it. Larry Brown would have wrecked Carmelo Anthony. I'm on record. He would have wrecked him.
Why do you feel that way?
He would have. Well, first of all,
because of the defense,
Uncle Chill, we know how LB get down.
Not just the defense. How he was with young players. I don't know if you remember this, J-Rob,
but the 2000 players.
But the 2004 Olympics. So LeBron James played the third least amount of minutes on that Olympic team. Dwayne Wade played the second least amount of minutes on that Olympic team.
Mello.
You know who played the least amount of minutes on that Olympic team?
Mello.
Carmelo Anthony. So now what you're going to do, J-Rob, is you're going to put Carmelo Anthony on that Detroit Piston championship contending unit. And now he's going to step right in and he's going to play immediately. Larry Brown would have wrecked him. I'm
sure. It worked for Kobe.
I don't believe that though, Chill. I think what Carmelo ultimately would have got from a situation like that is
a bench.
We've seen it. I think we've seen it. What LeBron got from Miami when he went to Miami, I think is what Carmelo would have gotten if he would have went to Detroit. I believe when you looked at that team, they needed youth. They needed another perimeter scorer at that time because Rick was getting older in age. Rasheed was getting older in age. And Chauncey was getting older in age. I think what Carmelo would have gotten with that team, he would have learned more how to be a team player, which cost him when he was, you know, when he went to not necessarily the Knicks, but how the Knicks organization built the team around him. I think he would have learned. I think he would have had a more emphasized point of, okay, I might not be a great defender, but at least let me be a better, at least one-on-one post defender kind of deal. Because we've seen him, even as much knock as we give Carmelo for not being a good or even a great defender,
we didn't see him do it.
Look at his biggest matchups with LeBron. He takes on that one-on-one matchup with LeBron.
He's a solid one-on-one defender.
So two things really quickly. So you just brought up Richard Hamilton and you brought up Chauncey Billups. Just so you know, they were in their prime when they got with Larry Brown. They weren't old.
Yeah.
That's number one. And on the Olympic team, so he's got guys like Richard Jefferson playing in front of him. He's got guys like Paul Pierce playing in front of him. Now we're going to put him on a team. Now we're going to put him on a team that's defensive oriented. So he's not playing in front of Tayshaun Prince just off the strength of how the Detroit Pistons play. He's not playing in front of him. No way is he playing in front of him on that. And you know how Carmelo Anthony is coming off the bench. Larry Brown would have destroyed him. He would have wrecked him.
Hold on, y'all. We got a $20 super chat by Teddy Hart. Chill. Depending on how Minnesota performs in the playoffs, they may try to get off Carl Anthony Towns' contract, which in a few years will be nasty. If New York wants to win now, they can make a run at him. There's your 24-10. Nah, go get. I don't want Carl Anthony Towns in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're getting $10 million. Wait, hold on. Cat comes with a $10 million signing bonus. He's traded to. That's $10 more million they gotta pay him. So you think about it. You get Cat. You gotta pay him $10 more million with the crazy that he has on his contract.
Now, good with that.
That's crazy.
I'm not good with that. D-Reed!
What's going on?
I'm cool with going after. Give me Naz Reed. I don't think Carl Anthony and Towns. I don't think Carl Anthony Towns embodies what we're doing in New York.
Naz Reed is
Naz Reed would be
a great pickle for y'all.
Hold on, we kind of going off the rails here. Like one thing at a time.
Facts.
We all over.
I'm gonna wait till they done. I want to ask J Rob a question.
What's up, brother?
When you say Jalen Brunson got more of an effect, do you think it's because he's smaller?
I think it's because – so I think Melo, if you were to compare the two, I think we would all agree Melo overall probably the better basketball player, better talent at basketball. But when I look at Jalen Brunson, when you got a guy – and I think his size does have a bit of a factor because you got to think about it like this. When he came to New York, Cowboy, I think you and I would both agree. When we signed into that $100 million, $110 million, we said, what are we doing? Why are we giving $100 million to Jalen Brunson?
You got a Bentley. You got a brand new Bentley. You ain't even know.
It's the best bargain in basketball.
You got 30 miles on it.
That's it. Cowboy, you got it for like 20. You got it for like 25,000. By the way,
yeah,
that's it.
You got it. Basically, the price of a BMW.
You know those going out of business sales. We got Jalen Brunson going out of business sales.
Yes.
Everything must go sale. That's
I'm taking this for like 90% off. Yes. And you think that, like, damn, I overpaid for this. No, you didn't.
No, you did not. You stole him. You stole him. And so when I look at it, like, Primo, when I look at it now, I'm like, yo, we got this guy for the cheap. He didn't have no expectations, and he's turned the city up another level. And I think with the expectations he's brought in versus what we've gotten out of him, you know, when you say you got to squeeze the juice of a berry, we squeezing all the juice out of
y'all this squeezing bag. All the juice we out
getting,
of him.
We getting everything. We're getting everything out of this guy. And I think what makes it even better is because he's playing in the Mecca of basketball at a 6'6", 6'1",
right?
And he's giving everybody everything they can handle on a nightly basis. Nobody talks about this, but why isn't he in top three considerations for the MVP trophy? He averaged 28 points a game. He got the Knicks as a top.
A lot too, though.
But with him performing well,
the Knicks are the
three seed.
Yeah, but this is what I'm.
What else could he do?
Him dominating when he scored 60, they were losing. You know how the media take this. Winning counts. So even though he was going crazy, carrying them a couple stretches, they was going under 500, staying at 500, where he balling, but the team not winning.
But that's not true, though, because if you look at how everything is as far as MVPs, it's based off of favoritism. Because if we're really going to look at MVPs, the top, I want to say three MVPs, maybe four, should be Shea, because of what his team did, Ant-Man because of what they did, also with Jokic and what's his name? Freaking from Boston, Tatum. Those four guys should be in the top four. And then a guy like Brunson coming in as well, coming up from behind, given with all the injuries that we've had. Those should be the top five, but they're not. Because of the fact is,
so Giannis
not over Luka, though. Right. I was just about to say Giannis.
No, I'm saying Giannis exists.
What happened?
No, Giannis exists, but I'm saying, like, what I think is your MVP should be the best player on your team that got you through the hard times and actually put you in the top three seed. Those guys that I mentioned aren't even there. Jokic, of course, he's MVP because he's almost averaging a triple-double. I think he's one rebound or assist off from a triple-double for the whole season. So, like, numbers
like
that.
What's the Knicks record?
49-32. We have to win one more game for 50. That's what I'm saying. 50 win season with Tibbs and the injuries.
Knicks tied for the 2 seed right now.
Yeah. And on top of that, we haven't been this good in the last 20-something years. I think it was 2002, 2003. We gotten plus 49 wins. So it's over 20 years with all that we've been through. We actually have a player now in Brunson to get us over that hump with the coach possibly other year in Tibbs because of the adjustments he made with injuries. Nobody will pay attention to that because it happened one season. If it happens another season, then we can have the conversation.
You gotta earn that spot, Kyle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he earned his spot over Tatum.
You just don't win an MVP like
that. I think Brunson is a top three guard in the league. You got Steph, Luka, or Shea, and then any one of those three you want to put in. But Brunson's up there third.
Devin Booker's a point guard. If we're being, you know me.
No, Steph is no.
Devin Booker, Jalen Brunson, better than Devin Booker.
Jalen Brunson has been a better basketball player this year than Devin Booker.
I don't care.
Chill. I don't care. If we go by the season.
What is the top five? So what are the top five point guards now? So what are the
Devin
top
Booker
five?
Devin Booker over Brunson.
Luka.
One mic.
Let me run off some point guards real quick. Luka.
Yes.
Steph. Shea. And who's after that? And not, no order, Brunson. No order. Who's after that?
Brunson.
And then you got five.
I'm going to be honest. I can't get behind any top five point guards that don't have Brunson in the first four names.
Wait, where's Booker? He's not on his list?
He's a better point guard than Devin Booker.
Devin Booker is not a point guard.
If
a dude moved to power forward, that doesn't automatically make him the best power forward.
Hold on, though.
Jalen Brown is not a small forward. Jalen Brown is a shooting guard. He's playing small forward only this year.
He ain't the best small forward in the league.
Not at all.
We heard this same conversation about Steph Curry not being a point guard. All he do is shoot.
Hold on for a second. Let me ask you. Answer this question. Devin Booker at the league guard. Correct. Has he been better than Jalen Brunson at the lead guard this
season? Exactly.
If we're talking about the point guard, I feel at the label point guards. But I'm looking at the label point guard. That's why I'm looking at it. That book got to be up there.
Once again, I'm asking you a simple question. This season at the lead guard spot, has Devin Booker been a better lead guard than Jalen Brunson this season?
No.
So what are we talking about?
Bingo. That's it.
I'm just talking about the label of the point guard. I feel like we all know.
I just asked you the same question. So the label point guard at the lead guard spot, has Devin Booker been better than Jalen Brunson this season?
Jalen Brunson in my top six point guards for the season, man.
Wait a minute, Kay. Now, if you want to talk about overall guards,
that's a
conversation. That's a completely different conversation.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at like the overall.
Luka and what? Shea's first team, right?
Mm-hmm. But wait, we're changing. Yeah. But wait, we're gonna change the position of a player just because he's playing point guard this one season. Devin Booker was a two guard.
I got Brunson second team.
They got Kyrie at shooting guard.
Clear cut, second team. I got Brunson this season, and it hurts to say I got Brunson over Steph as far as all NBA teams this season, just this season. And I'm a big Steph fan.
Irv always played off the ball though. What are you talking about, Kay?
Always.
Irv played off the ball with James. Irv played off the ball when he was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he always played off the ball. It's been a minute.
Now remember, you just mentioned Devin Booker as a second team All NBA. Remember, it's positionless this year. Remember that.
Yeah, they can have four centers.
Is it?
Yeah, remember that. It's position.
All I know is Brunson's second team. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Could Brunson be a first team All NBA performer this year?
No.
Look at what he's done.
Hold on, nephew. So right here in the middle. Right here with the green on. I'm listening. All right.
So I just want to say, I ain't, and this is no disrespect to Shea or anything, but like when I look at certain things that, and granted, I understand the West is a tough. I look at what Brunson has dealt with, with teammates being out, keeping that team afloat, the performances that he's been putting on a consistent basis. I'm not trying to use the hype text or whatever, but just the consistent performances they've done, keeping the team afloat, putting them where they at, and they're being a real good team, having notable wins against certain teams and stuff of that nature. And just balling on another level. Like I said, I'm a Steph guy, but I'm sorry. Like, I got Brunson. I really wanted to put him first team. The only reason why I was not trying to be biased and say I was going to say Shea and Luka. But if it since it's positionless, I'm sorry, dog. I will put Luka at the three. Hey, you can be the two. Brunson, the one.
What?
This might be the easiest first team on NBA in many years. Let me tell you, it's easy. Luka, Shea, Tatum, Giannis, Jokic. It's not that complicated.
Wait, five names that he just named, they're untouchable. There's no one.
Yeah, like this is very easy. Y'all making this a complicated situation.
Luka, Shea, Tatum, Giannis, Jokic. Yeah, exactly. No one's coming out.
There's an argument. What's the argument?
He was better than Tatum.
No.
He is.
No.
He's played better at far.
OG, chill. So you can tell me there's no argument for Brunson over Tatum.
I said so is not an argument. What's the argument?
No.
Let me know when I could go, and I'll let y'all know why I think Brunson's better than Tatum.
All right,
oh my God.
Go ahead. I want to hear this.
Go ahead.
I'm going to mute the mic. Same.
Yeah.
One, two, three. I'm going to go. Tatum.
Make a bad argument. I'm going to chime in, though.
Okay. Tatum has the best record. I give you guys that. Tatum has stepped up and played better defense. I give you guys that. He's the number one guy on his team. But where Tatum hasn't had issues like Brunson, number one, they played majority healthy. They may not have played together recently because they've been resting, but they have been on cruise control all season. I give them a pat on the back for that. But when you look at the trials and tribulation that Brunson went through as far as getting more than 30 games, I mean 30 points a game, getting his assist up to where he's looking for guys, he's more involved defensively, stepped up with the Charges, even learned how to have better footwork. He's even keeping up with guys twice his size. So when it comes to Brunson, as far as him being out, remember, we had four of our key guys out, and we were still winning. We still were winning, and we're about to hit 50 wins.
Look. I got you. Look, so you feel
right,
like
but before, Brunson's better than Tatum. But before that, by the way, before you guys
hold
do
on, hold on, y'all. Hold on, y'all.
Before you guys
I want to get him real quick. Do you feel like Brunson's better than Tatum because Brunson's team is hurting his hoopin'?
No,
I said say it again. I didn't hear you. Say it again.
You feel Brunson's better than Tatum since Brunson's teammates is out, and he's hooping. That's basically what I'm hearing.
No,
if Brown was out, Tatum would average 33. I swear, 30 points.
But I think that Tatum's got.
I don't know about that. I actually don't know about that.
And the reason with Tatum, another thing most people are talking about with Tatum.
Oh my god!
We're talking about a guy. All right, we're talking about. We're talking about a guy here in Jason Tatum, who is the second leading scorer out of all small forwards, right? He leads all small forwards in rebounds, by the way. This is a guy that actually got his percentages up since last season, so he's more efficient and more accurate than he was last season. Where exactly in that is Jalen Brunson better than him, besides scoring?
Okay, you want to talk about that? Let's look as far as the team.
Brunson's not even a better scorer than Tatum.
He just said that. Aside from scoring, let's actually look at team play. There have been several games that I have seen due to the double team that Brown had to step up or that Kristaps Porzingis had to step up. Because if you notice, when they played against the Hawks, four or five times they were supposed to give the ball to Tatum and they never did. But everybody remembers Tatum taking that final shot. Nobody remembers that a lot of times these plays that they have set up for Tatum, the defense is set different for him the way he can't get off. What I'm trying to say is when Brunson had the double team change, when Randall went out and they double team, triple team in him, we still are finding ways to win. He still has good footwork. He stepped up. And I don't get me wrong, at the beginning of the season, I thought it was Tatum. But based off of what Brunson's did,
I think he
deserves a shot. Because he doesn't have all his guys.
I want to know what team.
You just said at the beginning of the season, Tatum point didn't drop or nothing. I don't know why you niggas is the host, nigga.
Stop talking over me. Like, I don't understand that shit. That shit on my nerves. Like, y'all niggas talking over the host of the show. Like, one mic, nigga.
All right. With that being said, though, we got our hour and 15. I appreciate the discourse, fellas. Me and Unc got to close out the show. Cowboy, Dante, D Reed, Primo, Shea 5. Fernandez, I appreciate y'all for coming to rock with us for sure.
Go ahead. Hey, chill, man. On one of these platforms, I'm gonna need my 1-on-1 with you, man. I got a couple of beef with you on your.
What's
on your
up?
Team.
No, right now. You can't run up on me.
I'll be watching a lot of videos and I'll be hitting on Mars and messaging Mars like, why you don't ever, you know, check chill. The Bron bias, man. Like the Bron bias on a lot of things. And nobody, only Mars and maybe Low here and there will probably like say some stuff to kind of hold on. But it's like a lot of people don't understand. You can poke a lot of holes in your argument. I'm like, yo, why nobody
What bias do I have for Bron?
This nigga said I had to call Mars to see why I don't check his temperature, nigga. You don't.
Hold on, J-Rock.
You're losing me, D-Reed.
Hold on. Stay focused. So the Bron bias. So there's a lot of holes that you can poke in my logic. There's a lot of holes that can be poked in anybody's logic. So poke holes in my logic right now. I'm listening.
What I personally feel like everybody can have a favorite player, but also can be also unbiased to the point where you'd be like, you know what? Let me not go too far. And I just feel like a lot of times when they come to you be on point for the most part until it come to Bron, I'm like, come on, man. Or like the Bron versus Bron Jordan people argument, here. Or certain things of that nature. I'm just like, come on, man. Like,
where am I? All right, so let me refresh your memory. So I think James is the best I've ever seen. It took me a long time to come to that conclusion, but I think he's the best that I've ever seen. Everything that he does on the court, I feel like he's better than Jordan at just about everything except scoring. I think Jordan is a better scorer than him. I'll give you that. I will never argue that. But I feel James does everything else better than him. Just as a basketball player alone.
And
it's more than an argument for other stuff and other things, but this is where I think personally. Now, Jordan's not even in my top 10 favorites, but I think he's the GOAT for this specific mm-hmm. reason. I think it style of play and impact, your style of play and your impact, how you impact the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that just because you're more versatile or what you do from like other stuff makes you a better overall better player. Because right. I think impact, for perfect example is this. I think Kyrie Irving's more skilled than Steph Curry.
Right.
By far. Well, not by far, because Steph Curry is very...
You do think he's better than him, though? Okay.
No, just skill.
From a skill standpoint, you think he's better? From a skill standpoint,
yes.
Okay.
But from an overall just impact and just who's the greater player, it's not even close. It's clearly Steph Curry. Another example could be somebody could be like, well,
it's Kevin close. Durant's a better,
more efficient player, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. more skilled than Kobe or whoever, whatever type of case.
I'll give you an example really quickly. I don't want to cut you off, but really quickly. So, like, Dennis Rodman got more of an impact than Isaiah Thomas, but Isaiah Thomas is a better player than him. All right, I can get with that, sure. All right, I can get with that.
Okay, for example, James Harden and Russell Westbrook are very well-rounded. They can do a bunch of things, right? Just a bunch of things. They rebounds, assists. They can run the team a certain way that you want. They can do a lot, and they are very great talent. Steph Curry's game is not like that. Perfect example. Forget them. Kevin Durant versus Steph Curry. Kevin Durant is a better one-on-one player. That does not make him a better overall player than Steph Curry. Why? Because the game is a 5-on-5 game, and the impact that Steph Curry
Who said Durant is a better one-on-one
player? Wait, just hear me out. So, behind that logic, Jordan, although even though he has a season where he's 31-8-8, and even though he does not do the well-rounded, because that's not his job to do the well-rounded things that LeBron does, did not mean he can't do it. And based on his impact, it is seen that the results, that everything else points to results. He's won more, he's done more in shorter time because what he did it really well compared to a person that can do a little bit more. I just think with whatever you do, if you put results in it and it's coming straight through you, and you were one of the main one or two players for your team. Prevailing, I can make a strong argument that no, you're the better player, even though this other person is more versatile, more well-rounded. No, that person's the better player. That's just how I feel.
And the logic is that because he's produced more in a shorter period of time, he's better.
Well, I mean, considering that, like, it's a lot of things I could say. The reason, like, not even just bringing up accolades.
When did doing something for a long time great be a bad thing?
No. It's a great thing. Tom Brady, payment. When you look, I'm never gonna knock somebody for longevity. What I am saying is, when a person can, because I can start.
You just brought up him doing more for a shorter period of time.
That's literally what you said.
What I'm saying is this. I'm not knocking the longevity, saying it's not great. What I am saying is this. Even though it's great, another player just did what he did in a shorter time. Quicker.
So I'll say this
because I play basketball and I'm in a sling right now because from basketball and stuff like that. I've been playing basketball my whole life. Right. I'll say this: when you three-peat twice, I don't give a damn if it's on D2 level. That is an impressive feat. You might say, "Well, try to break it all the way down." When you win at a certain level and certain magnitude, it needs to be respected and such. And then people be like, "Well, the new mod." Listen, LeBron played in the easiest Eastern Conference, and the Eastern Conference has been weak since 98. I'm not trying to hear none of that.
So two things.
I don't agree with that.
So two things. Number one, like you just mentioned, three-peating. I mean, that's ridiculous to do that, right? That's not something that's hard. That's almost impossible to do that, right? No doubt. How about going to the finals for a decade straight? How about that?
After career. With anybody.
Three-peating twice.
Hey, chill. Hold up, chill. How about averaging 25 for 20 years?
Hold on for a second, D. What we're talking about? Let's discuss winning.
D, what's up, bro?
Let's discuss winning for a second. Let's discuss going to the NBA Finals 9 times in 10 years. I've mentioned this in the past. There's a generation of kids that don't know LeBron James not being in the finals. There's a generation of kids that don't know that. Nowhere. So that has not been done. I don't even remember that. Like Magic didn't do that. Bird didn't do that.
And you know what's crazy? That's very impressive.
Now when you talk about winning, I personally think
a person saying, "All right, I'm going to win three, retire, come back, let me get a full season under my belt finally." I'm gonna do it, run off another three, retire now, again.
See, and that's where it gets tricky. The reason why I want to make sure that you understand why it's tricky. Number one, that first three-peat team, so Horace Grant, Scottie Pippen, Jordan, B.J. Armstrong, Cliff Livingston, Bill Cartwright, those guys, they were together for a long time. It wasn't like it was just Jay and a bunch of nobody.
I know
the dudes were together for a long time. That's number one.
Horace Grant is one of the best rebounders of all time.
Which would explain why they were so good for so long. That's why you don't see super teams last. These teams that get together for a couple of months or a couple of years, they fade out. That's number one. Number two, when Jordan got on that second three-peat team, just so you know, him and Scottie, the only two dudes that was on the first three-peat team, that was on the second three-peat team. That crew was completely revamped with Tony Kukoc, with Steve Kerr, with all of these dudes who were together for a long time. You add Jordan into that. The point that I'm making is that you add Jordan to that unit, that's the difference. That doesn't mean that Jordan did it. No, he's Kawhi Leonard on the Toronto Raptors in 2019. That's who he is. So you add Jordan to that unit. Yes, you add him to that crew, and now all of a sudden they go from being a playoff team to now we are a champ. They won 56 games.
I know they won 57 games.
You add Jordan to that group, and you add Rodman to that group. So now we go from winning 56
and
games.
Harper.
We steamrolling everybody.
Everybody.
That's what we're doing. We're steamrolling everybody.
Not only that,
we have to also add in the clutch players that he had. Like, we don't talk about Scottie Pippen as a clutch player nearly as much.
So you're pointing out people that notable names, right? Now, if you go back and look at the impact is still not even significantly near or on a par or even close to Jordan with the output. And that's not disregarding them. That's not disregarding them. But it is what it is. Like, they're not doing whatever. But the same way you can make the argument bigging them up, which is, you know, salute. I can do the same thing with LeBron when it comes to his teammates and who he playing. How you have a clutch shooter like Ray Allen, or the fact that Kyrie Irving is giving you 27 and 29 back to back finals, or AD is giving you 25, 10 in the final. Like, this is the thing. And the thing is, the East was weaker in LeBron's time. I'm sorry, that's just not me being biased. It's weaker.
What about J.R. Smith in 2018?
You said what?
What about J.R. Smith in 2018?
No, you know what's crazy? People always say, so look, he had 8 year time where he was in the East before he went to the West. And then they say, all right, well, look at that 1 year, that 2018, when he dragged that team. Guess what? I salute to him because that was some great performances by LeBron. Nevertheless, the East was still freaking weak.
I just want to say this because we got to move on because we over our time. But I'm gonna say this: to keep calling the East weak because one man dominated it is bullshit.
No, that's not the reason why. I'm gonna give you a fact. How many times the AC went to the finals?
Bro,
what conference did it happen in?
The Knicks went to the finals in 1999.
Yes, and they lost out season, and then the Heat just did it last year. Would that ever happen in the West?
Hold on.
My nigga, was the Lakers not a 7 seed and go to the Western Conference Finals
last year?
And guess what? It still went to the finals. That was a one-off situation.
Hold on, but you're talking about nonsense because at the end of the day, you use one team to make an example of why a conference has been bad for an era.
What one team?
The Rockets won the NBA championship as a 6 seed. What are you talking about?
Salute, but it's not an 8 seed. You've never seen 2 8 seed.
You've never seen a 6 seed win the NBA championship in any conference.
I ain't gonna lie, shout out to you, Dante.
Yes, right.
You might have been better off asking Mars to help you out. You probably
Hey, bro. Who was better, younger, Jordan or Brian? Oh, he left.
We got to slide. Go ahead. Yeah, we got to go. We almost had our time.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. I ain't even. Good to talk. Who's better, younger, Jordan or Brian?
Oh, that's not even a question. I don't think so.
Jordan's peak. You could take Jordan's peak and say he was better. Okay, it wasn't by a long shot. Who better, older now, Jordan or Brian?
I mean, we all know the answer to that. We all know the answer to that. Rainbow, we appreciate you coming on the show. As thanks, always, brother, love talking to you. That was kind of madness. I apologize. I should have had, I should have cycled a little short. I had the whole
spot. Hey, Rob, just open up the door and let everybody in. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I did the barn. Yeah, I had to, when they say you're leaving the barn door open, I had the barn door. And I didn't mean to do that. My fault. I'll take the blame on that. I apologize.
Hey, sometimes a six man turns the ball over. He does that sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes it happens.
Listen, they don't give me a leash. The coach say let him do him. Sometimes you gotta take the good with the bad.
Right. And we learn. No doubt.
Before you close, I do want to say this because we have more super chat. Did y'all hear about Derek Lively's mom's pass? I want to say rest in peace to Derek Lively. Derek Lively's mother, obviously, because their relationship has been really close. They've talked about their relationship for a long time. So I just wanted to put
that. She had cancer.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
She had cancer.
Yeah, she did.
That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that, brother.
Yeah, of course.
So who else we got? I think we got some super chats that we got to get through.
Yeah, we got through all of them except for this one. I've never entertained Brunson All NBA first team, but if it is at the cost of Tatum, hell yeah, that fraud carried by his team. Brunson greater than Tatum, not even close.
Data alert. I just thought that was an interesting conversation, J. Rod. That yo, is it ridiculous for me to think that Jalen Brunson could be first team All NBA this year?
No, it's not.
I was just making sure. That's all.
No, it's not ridiculous. If you put in the work in, you put in the work in. You know what I'm saying?
Make sure I wasn't bugging out. That's all.
Hey, what you want to tell these folks on the way out?
Hey, man, listen. Put on a suit. Drink water. Don't drink and drive. Hey, man, call your mother. When last time you talk to your mother? Call your mother. We will see you guys soon. By this time next week, we will have seedings and the playoffs will be cracking.
Let's go.
We will see you guys next week on Playback. We ain't on YouTube no more. We're going to be on Playback. We will see you guys next week. But until then, take it light. Take it. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
No doubt. That's good work.